Well, the Big 12 basketball season is over, but the coaching carousel has been awfully interesting in recent days in this league. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us covering the Big 12 Conference. Thanks for being here. If you thought this show was going to end or go on a hiatus because football was over and basketball came to an end, well, you're not paying close enough attention. We are going to be here with you multiple times a week on this show, on the podcast, on YouTube. Hit that thumbs up right below the video, and we will have plenty of content coming your way because guess what? The news cycle doesn't end. It's always rocking and rolling, and we are here for you at Heartland College Sports covering the Big 12. So let's dive in to the last few days of the coaching carousel in this league. Let's start off with the Jerome Tang saga of the last, you know, handful of days here. So Jerome Tang was at one point, according to solid reports, the top target of the Arkansas Razorbacks. It was Chris Beard at Ole Miss, and then Jerome Tang's name popped up. And understandably, you go back to last Friday, and man, K-State Nation was all in a tizzy. The Wildcat faithful were awfully nervous there for a few hours. They thought something was going to go down with their guy, Jerome Tang, and they didn't like it for one second. And understandably so. It has been a rocky year for Jerome Tang and the Kansas State Wildcats, not just on the court, but what's happened off the court. And frankly, what's happened off the court ultimately drove a lot of what happened on the court, most notably the Naquan Tomlin situation. He gets booted from campus. Some issue happens at some establishment downtown, and it becomes a standoff between Jerome Tang and university president Richard Linton. So by now, I mean, you know, we're all well-versed on the situation and what happened, but it's very clear that Jerome Tang did not forget. Jerome Tang, as much as he loves Kansas State, he understandably has a problem with a university president who wants to meddle at the micro level in every little thing that's happening with certain student athletes. And that's not his job. That's not. I mean, you have to trust your guys. You got to trust Jerome Tang. I mean, if there's a guy who's going to hold his players accountable, you look at how Jerome Tang wears his faith on his sleeve. You look at what his track record suggests, going back to his time under Scott Drew over his couple of years here in Manhattan. And, you know, you got to trust him. You give the guy the reins to the program and you let him do his thing. Of course, within reason, but you let him do his thing. And Richard Linton at Kansas State didn't do it in that situation. And Jerome Tang, understandably so, still seems a little bit pissed about it. Now, as Friday was going on, did I think that Jerome Tang was actually ever going to leave for Arkansas? I didn't. He's just not wired that way. He's not the kind of guy who sat on the bench at Baylor for, I mean, we're talking what, a couple decades? He sat on that bench for Baylor, and then you finally get a job where you are a perfect fit. I mean, he is just an outstanding fit for Baylor. Excuse me, for Kansas State coming from Baylor. And you're going to throw that all away, all those good graces away after an Elite Eight run because you're pissed at the university president? Now, I get why you are, but eventually, you got to take a step back and you got to say, what actually makes sense here? Running away to Arkansas did not make sense. And ultimately, it was never who Jerome Tang was to make a move like that. He's learned from Scott Drew, who's gotten every job offer under the sun, and he hasn't left in two decades at Baylor. He knows what he's got. And having that level of comfort and trust with the right people, like a Gene Taylor, the athletic director, matters. And that's ultimately the answer I think that Jerome Tang came through. And also, it was noted by Jeff Goodman of Field of 68 that Jerome Tang and his family love Manhattan. And that was confirmed by a Kansas State assistant on social media on Sunday. So I understand why Kansas State fans were like, oh my gosh, our guy's going to Arkansas. This is worst case scenario. Burn the whole thing down. Richard Linton, you know, they were ready to, start toilet paper in his house and whatever. I didn't think it was going to get there. But I do think Jerome Tang sent a message to the university. and I think he sent a message to Richard Lynton. And the message was very simple. Don't pull this kind of crap again. Don't get involved in my business. Do your thing as a university president. If it's egregious, okay, come to me, let's talk. But I think Jerome Tang, for 6 to 12 hours, wanted to make certain people around Kansas State sweat a little bit. And I don't blame him for doing that. I have no problem with the Jerome Tang making some key people sweat a little bit at Kansas State. It's kind of like when, you know, your girlfriend or boyfriend breaks up with you for like, you know, a couple hours. And they just want to make you sweat, right? They want to tweak you. They want to make you realize how good you got it when you're being a knucklehead. We're done. I'm breaking up with you. I'm never coming back. A couple hours later, all right, let's talk it through. That's what it feels like Jerome Tang did. And I'm okay with that. I think that message, frankly, needed to be sent. Because there is a level of comfort with Jerome Tang that exists, and that's okay. And he's earned that, and both sides have placated that very well. But reminding everybody that if Jerome Tang leaves, there's not an obvious, easy replacement. There's not. So let's just realize we got a good guy here. I mean, heck, look at Oklahoma State. Look where they were fishing. Jerome Tang leaves. I promise you the next Jerome Tang is not showing up. Now, some of you might be on the fence still about Tang because he missed the tournament. I think you got a home run guy there. You saw that during the Elite Eight run, and this year would be completely different. This season would have been totally different had it not been in part derailed by the university president getting involved in business he had no business being involved with. So that's the point Jerome Tang was trying to make, and I think he made it effectively. And I really was never all that worried that Jerome Tang was going to go anywhere. Now, elsewhere around the Big 12 coaching carousel, you had this last week. Steve Lutz hired by Oklahoma State as their next head coach. All season long, we talked with our lead basketball writer, Matthew Postens, whether or not Mike Boynton was going to make it. He said yes. I was on the fence. I said no. Then it came around and I said yes. He convinced me. Boynton got blown out. In hindsight, I don't have any issue with it. There was nothing to suggest it was getting better anytime soon with Mike Boynton. His style of play was not going to effectively win in the Big 12 because he was doing what a lot of other teams do with lesser talent, right? He was slowing the game down and trying to beat them at their own game with guys who were never as good and never as experienced. And frankly, it was really boring-ass basketball. Like, let's just call it what it was. So you bring in this guy, Steve Lutz, who was at Western Kentucky last year for 1 year. Before that, he was at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. But he's another guy who's got a very long track record as an assistant coach. Spent a long time at Creighton. A great program, by the way, as we all know. Spent a long time, handful of years, at Purdue. Helped recruit Zach Edey at Purdue. Then he went out on his own, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, where he won the conference tournament his 2 years there. He got to the NCAA tournament each of his years at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And then this past season in the Conference USA, he got his Western Kentucky Hilltoppers to the NCAA tournament. My first reaction was very much blah. I was like, really? Now, not that I thought Oklahoma State was going to get Dusty May, but I just wasn't impressed when I thought of Steve Lutz in Western Kentucky. But the more I dug into Steve Lutz, the more I said to myself, you know what? I'm viewing this through the wrong prism. Oklahoma State's not a desirable job right now. So this is actually a pretty darn good hire. Like, the Gallagher-Ibadays are obviously long gone. That's a thing of the past at this point. And you just go back, and you've got to go back 20 years to Oklahoma State basketball being relevant, right? I mean, that's just think back in the history of Oklahoma State basketball, and you got to go to Eddie Sutton. That's how far back you got to go to feeling like this team and this program was in any way relevant year in and year out. They haven't gotten to a Sweet 16 in what will be 20 years next year. They're not a good basketball program. The kids who are alive today getting recruited have never been alive for Oklahoma State in a Sweet 16. And I know a Sweet 16 is a big deal, but really it's getting to the tournament and winning two games. That gets you to a Sweet 16. And Oklahoma State hasn't done that since 2005. This is not a desirable job. So when I recalibrated my expectations, I thought, you know what? I like the hire of Steve Lutz. When I realized that, first off, he's got the local regional ties. He's from San Antonio. He knows the Texas scene very well. He spent a lot of time at Stephen F. Austin and SMU. Head coach, of course, at A&M Corpus Christi. He knows how to recruit that part of the country. That's important for Oklahoma State basketball. You think about his time under Greg McDermott and Matt Painter. I like that. Check off the second box. You look at his style of play. Run up and down the floor. The Hilltoppers ranked number one nationally in adjusted tempo, according to KenPom. You got to like that. They're going to run, gun, it's going to be exciting, and that's what, frankly, Oklahoma State needs to get butts back into the seats. I don't know if they're ever going to fill in Gallagher-Iba again. The stadium, in hindsight, was too big. But remember, that arena was built pre-Oklahoma City Thunder. It really was a perfect storm, right? That arena gets built before the Thunder come in. The Thunder come in, they take all the energy out of the room in that state for basketball, and then the Cowboys fall off a cliff as well. So it's been a rough go of it when you think about, you know, where this venue is right now and how it's grown to be, you know, 13-plus thousand as of the turn of the century, and it was just too big. It's never going to sell out unless it's like, you know, the last Bedlam game. That's it. But if you're going to get a guy who's going to come in there, run, gun, exciting, up and down the floor, that at least gets people interested. And then you start winning, and you really got something cooking there in Stillwater. So when I dug into Steve Lutz a little bit more, and I realized what Oklahoma State basketball was at its core, I liked the hire a lot. And it makes a lot of sense based on what the expectations were and who was actually realistically someone who would take the job. Here's my biggest fear for Oklahoma State hiring a guy like Steve Lutz. They get Brad Underwooded. Brad Underwood was a great hire and a great coach for Oklahoma State for Stephen F. Austin. He came to Oklahoma State. He lasted 1 year, and he bolted for Illinois. Now, why? I'd have to go back and kind of remember why. I don't know if we ever really knew why. Or if just Illinois was a much better basketball job, better history, cared about the basketball program more. I don't know for sure what Brad Underwood's motivation was. But if Steve Lutz shows up in Stillwater and has a banger couple of years, my biggest fear is that he would be gone. And then you end up with Mike Boynton 2.0. You can't make that mistake again. But I'm more fearful of that at this point happening. That Oklahoma State loses a solid head coach. After he proves himself for a couple of years in, you know, a tough job and a really tough conference, that he goes and grabs his money somewhere else. I hope it's something we don't have to worry about, but listen, if you're an Oklahoma State fan, you got a little PTSD after what's gone on with this program the last bunch of years. There's no doubt about it. Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Great to be here. Thanks for joining us as a part of the show. Hit that thumbs up below the video if you're watching on YouTube, and make sure you subscribe to the channel as well. We always appreciate you joining us, and check out our free Heartland College Sports message boards as well. I want to spend a few minutes on some breaking news here. This took place this past Sunday night. Tavondre Sweat, former Texas defensive lineman, arrested for DWI driving while intoxicated. He was apprehended by the Austin Police Department Sunday afternoon, taken to Travis County Jail. It's a Class B misdemeanor in Texas, punishable up to 180 days in jail, fine as much as $2,000 or both. So we don't know exactly what's going on with Tavondre Sweat, but something really had me bothered on social media when I saw this on Sunday night. His old teammate, Keandre Coburn, of course, Texas defensive lineman as well, he shared an X post. What do we call it? It's not a tweet anymore, right? So what do we call it? There's a video of Tavondre Sweat from KXAN News exiting the Travis County Jail with his attorney after being arrested and facing a DWI charge. Keandre Coburn shares the video and writes, "Why record? This obviously is not the moment to talk, especially if you don't know exactly what happened." Meaning, why record him walking out of a county jail? The fact that Keandre Coburn is more mad at a random media dude, a random TV reporter, filming his boy walking out of a county jail than he is his own buddy driving while intoxicated, allegedly, is just everything that is wrong with this situation. Keandre Coburn should be ripping his pal. Now, maybe he's doing that privately, but why would you care one bit about some random TV reporter following your buddy out of a courthouse on public streets after he gets arrested for a DWI? Which, once again, if this happens in Austin, Texas, which is where it did happen, you know, the Texas Longhorns are obviously the pro program there. I'm here in Kansas City. This is like Chris Jones getting a DWI, right? This is the biggest team in town. Every reporter is going to be on it. And guess what? When you're walking on public streets out of a publicly funded courthouse, this can happen. Here's a great way. This is a little message for those that might not understand this. Keandre Coburn, maybe Tavondre Sweat. A great way to not get yourself filmed walking out of a county courthouse is to not get arrested. How about that, fellas? For Keandre Coburn being upset on social media that somebody's filming his boy walking out of a courthouse, don't get yourself arrested. Of course, everything is alleged until we have the answers. But there's a very simple way to avoid all this. So I just want to share that message with Keandre Coburn and Tavondre Sweat in case they needed that information, which apparently they might. You've just got to be kidding me. Like, just be quiet. Stay off social media. Talk to your boy behind the scenes, but don't tell some reporter he can't film a guy in a public street. He's not hiding in the jail cell. He's not hiding behind, you know, the police officer's front desk or something like that. Just spare me with that nonsense. Holy cow. Unbelievable. Also this past week on Sunday, the Oklahoma Sooners softball team lost its first conference series since 2011 against Mizzou. It's been that long since OU softball lost a series. They lost to Texas 2-1 on Saturday, and the story is the Texas pitching. The Texas pitching all year has just been absolutely tremendous. When you look at the pitching for Texas over the last bunch of days, they gave up 7 runs across 3 games. The lowest scoring output for OU softball in a series since Baylor contained the Sooners to 7 runs back in 2012. So now you look at the Big 12 softball standings, OU is still in first place at 13-2, but Oklahoma State's sitting there a half game back at 12-3. Texas is 1.5 games behind at 11-4. So suddenly we may have, which we didn't think we'd have, a Big 12 race this year at the very top between OU, Oklahoma State, and Texas. And listen, I know we're in this crazy NIL world and people just go wherever they want, but I still think the sight of Kelly Maxwell in an OU uniform is just ridiculous. Like, I don't like it one bit. I don't care for it. I think it's good for the sport. I don't think it's good for anybody involved. There's nothing about it I like. And who was it who left Oklahoma State for OU in football? Was it, was it Trace Ford who did that, right? Oklahoma State to Oklahoma? I think he's the one that did that. And he had a bust of a season for OU. So sometimes karma's a you-know-what when it comes to, you know, making a move like that and transferring that much inside your conference. Not just inside your conference, but you're literally talking about transferring to your biggest rival. I hate everything about that. So it has been a very busy week busy few days in the Big 12 Conference. We'll have much more coming your way here as the weeks roll along. And let me add this as we put a bow on this show. Big 12 Mexico got delayed. By now, you probably saw the news that the Big 12 was scheduled to play games in Mexico. And they have decided to put that on hold until 2025. That was supposed to be also a KU and Houston basketball game. They pushed that back a year. Can I just sit here and say I'm fine with that? In fact, I hope, and I like a lot of what Brett Yormark has been doing. But let me say this here at Heartland College Sports. I don't want any part of Mexico. I don't care about Mexico. I don't want to do business with Mexico. I don't want to give Mexico a dollar of my hard-earned money right now. The relationship between these two countries is not good for a plethora of reasons I won't get into because we're talking sports here. But you know as well as I do, unless you've got your head buried in the sand, that there is a major issue between these two countries. And while the Big 12 is looking to expand, and I get what they're going for, I am not interested in building this brand in Mexico and giving them revenues that could be going to our small businesses and our universities on and around our campuses. I'm just not interested. Maybe you want to hop on a jet and you want to go down to Mexico and make a weekend out of it. I'm not. The Big 12 can be creative. The Big 12 can do different things. The Big 12 can play in different venues. You know, you can be creative if you want to be creative, but Mexico, count me out. Count me out. So this thing gets delayed till 2025, and we are going to monitor it to see how it plays out. Jeremy asking a question here. I'm going through some of your comments on YouTube. Pete, do we really need those transfer portal worst-case scenario articles? Those are pretty cringe. Okay, these have been controversial on the website, so let me address them here. If you haven't seen this, we have our managing editor, Brian Clinton, has been going through transfer portal scenarios on the website, like worst case transfer portal scenarios. And I'm going to do a big show on the transfer portal next weekend because it's opening up again on Monday, next Monday. So we're putting together off-season articles basically saying, what's the worst case transfer portal scenario for, we've done Oklahoma State, Ollie Gordon, and then we've done Avery Johnson as our other worst-case transfer portal scenario. And we're doing it not because we're predicting it, not because we think it's going to happen, obviously not because we want it to happen. We don't want Ollie Gordon going to OU. We don't want Avery Johnson going to A&M. But we're just putting together off-season content for you guys to consume, and we're obviously prefacing every article by saying, here's what's about to happen. Josh Pate and many other college football national guys have reported that this spring, the transfer portal is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen. It's going to be insane. You're going to see guys that you never thought you'd see leave left and right once spring ball ends and the spring transfer portal block opens up. It is going to be chaos. This might be the thing that breaks the sport and really forces all the folks involved to come around a table and fix it. It is potentially going to be a nightmare. So we have put these, you know, what we call just fun articles together to say, hey, what if this happens? What if that happens? We're not predicting it, but it's the time of year when we're writing content and producing content that's fun, that's creative, and that's just making you think. That's the only purpose of it. I wouldn't look into it too much more than that. I wouldn't take it personally. It's certainly, I mean, if you read them, they're well thought out. They're entertaining. But view it as just entertainment, right? Just view it as that. Not something we're predicting, not something we certainly want to happen. Just view it as pure entertainment to say, what if these crazy scenarios play out? Because there will be stuff that plays out the next few weeks in the transfer portal that none of us see coming. It's going to be an absolute zoo. More than most of us, and I'm including myself in this, probably realize. So that's really the purpose of those articles. Don't view them as anything more than fun, entertaining content. Don't take them too seriously. They're not intended. They're not clickbait. I mean, if you read them, they're 1,000-word pieces. But they're just meant to be fun and get the mind thinking as we get through the offseason together. All right? In the meantime, join us on the message boards. That's a great way to interact with us. The website's going to be getting an overhaul here. I'm letting you in on that little secret and tidbit in the weeks ahead at Heartland College Sports, and that's in large part because you guys have been so supportive of us over these years. So we're going to refresh, rebrand, and now it's a great time to get on the Heartland College Sports message boards, interact with us, and have a great time meeting other Big 12 fans. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. We love the Big 12 here, and we hope you have a great rest of your day. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that thumbs up button. Subscribe on the podcast as well. Leave that 5-star rating and review, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great day. Go Big 12.